Riese und Müller Unplugged. The podcast for everything that gets us in motion.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Riese and Müller Unplugged. My name is Julia Jankowski and here in this podcast I talk to people from Riese and Müller and also to people connected somehow to this company and the bike industry. So we talk about everything that gets people in motion and the things they are moving in their lives in a more or less literal sense and also in a metaphorical meaning. Today I'm really happy to welcome Ulrike Sade. Ulrike is CEO of Velo Concept, which is an agency located in Berlin. And first of all, I'd like to say, hi Ulrike, hello, how are you doing today?
Oh, hi Jule. Oh, I'm good, I'm happy to talk with you.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you here, or at least here in my virtual studio. We are remotely connected, and so I'm really looking forward to talking to you. You're a really, really busy person, and maybe I can just say some words about you, because you're really an expert in the bike industry. I think you've been active in this surrounding for more than 40 years now, so there's hardly a thing you don't know about bike industry, isn't it?
Yes, from the beginning when I started, the bicycle was only a theme for sports, only for sports and for leisure, but nothing with urban mobility, nothing. It was really nearly zero.
Yeah, not really a mobility, at least not a far distance mobility vehicle. It was more like, yeah. Short distances. Okay, Ulrike, everybody is posed the same question here in this podcast. And the question is, what have you already moved this morning? Anything like a bike, for instance? Have you been on your bike already?
Yes, I'm coming from my home here to my office by bike. And I like it very much because it's possible for me to have a very good route along the river, along the Spree, and it's really, I like it very much. And we have very good weather. It's summer, no rain here in Berlin, and so, no.
Lucky you, everybody else is flooded by rain at the moment. It's a rainy summer, but somehow that's a different topic. Okay, talking Velo Concept, your agency, maybe you can describe in short words, what is the purpose of Velo Concept? What are you doing, basically?
Now, our purpose is really to enlarge the importance of the bicycle, of the urban bicycle, to support the mobility change, to mobility transformation, not only bike, but also the train and walk in the urban area. And we are organizing a lot of bicycle festivals and congresses, and I'm leading a network in the bicycle industry, the think tank, and we are 9 people here in the agency, and we work for communes or for the government. We organize the National Congress of Bicycle in May, and yeah, that's what we are doing.
So you're mainly event agency, but focusing on bike or the bike industry. And it sounds like it's at least a tiny bit a political statement. Is it correct? It's not about just organizing things. It's about passion.
No, what you're describing. Yes, it's really a mission. We all in our firm, we really want to support that bicycle is playing a bigger role in the mobility, in the urban mobility. The sport is it's another theme. It's also interesting, but our focus is on urban mobility and on traveling as also the tourism, bicycle tourism. We are organizing a big bicycle tourism congress for the Eurobike and for 20 years now, but it's really the urban sector. Not the sport.
So what are your current challenges at the moment? What is your the hot shit on your desk, so to say.
The hot shit at Wähler Konzept. COVID, because we are organizing, we used to organize a lot of festivals, big festivals. The Velo Berlin, it's really a big festival. And we cannot do it. It's the second year now. And that's five people are working for it. And we are really a good team and we want to hold everybody. And that's really a big thing. How can we find new work? And we got it. We are really happy. We got new work, new projects that the team of the festival is working on other projects. And now we are really fine. It's okay. It's good. But that was a challenge. Last year, as I said, that was hard. But we also see every bad thing has also a good side, positive side. And the digitalization, the new format, we found new formats, and that was a big learning too. And so, it's okay. But that was the biggest challenge in our firm.
And can you describe it exactly? What kind of new businesses you found, or what kind of new opportunities you were discovering within this crisis?
Now, one project was that from the ministry, there is a national bicycle plan from the Ministry of Transport, and we organized the National Congress for Bicycle. That was really big, and there were more than, it was a digital congress. When it started, it was in May this year. There were more than 2,000 people, but there are two or three people from our team. That was Isabel, was the head of, and that was new. Or now Hille, she's architect. Now we work for the Baden-Württemberg. We support change, the mobility change with the communes, and that's for, and there are two persons from our team that are working with her, and that's, we are organizing meetings, congresses, networking, things, the image campaign, and no, that's very interesting, and that's new. That are new projects, and before there were some congresses and the festivals.
So at first glance, it sounds like a contradiction, because everybody in the bike industry is all in at the moment. But if you're organizing events, I think that's immediately super clear. It's the opposite way. It's just, yeah, you were like forced to think outside the box. Do you think it's, or do you find it's very typical for you and your colleagues thinking outside the box to invent yourself?
Yes, that's normal. When I started, I always used to, I was looking for new trends and to implement new themes in the bicycle industry, bicycle branch. That's, I'm doing it for many years, and it was hard, and for the team, I think, but yes, we managed it, and now we are happy, and we see new chances now, and no, it's okay.
Now, leaving COVID aside for just one instance, for one moment, what do you think will be ahead? Do you think that events in the bike industry will play a bigger role? Will it be getting even more common, a phenomenon that you see more events and more political events, initiatives? What is your assumption?
I'm working for many, many years for the mobility transformation. And I often thought, now the change is coming. Now it's coming. But it's really slow. It's really slow. The change is really slow. And the car is still all over in the urban area. And now I'm really thinking, hoping, I'm feeling that now the transformation is coming nearer. Mm-hmm. And so we will, our agency will get a lot of new jobs, and we will have a lot to do, and we need maybe more space for new people to work on, because now it's coming in the middle of the society of that's really more people think about that it's stupid to not everybody, but many. It's more intelligent and more healthy and more fun to take the bike to go to work with an electric bike like with a Müller offers. It's, and yeah, we see that we are organizing networking meetings, conferences, and so I think the form is a question. It's always, as there will be changes, that's not always live. The digital formats, I think the combination will be more, and I think it's good. It's a good development to combine it and to reduce so much traffic to the always. And we are also speaking now with Zoom, and it's a good form.
It works. It works. I mean, it's somehow a challenge. And maybe some people have like, or everybody of us has like barriers in mind to assume what will it be to have a digital event about bike riding. I mean, it's like connecting two worlds which cannot be connected. I mean, the one is full of experience and the other one is like distant and technical. But it works, or it can work.
But if somebody is interested for a new bike, the customer, he really wants to see it, to feel it, to touch it, to try it, to make a tour. And so for many years, we are organizing these, we call it now festivals. And when the cargo bike started, we organized a cargo bike tour around Germany, so to test it, people can test it, and families and people and firms, not only in private.
This cannot be replaced completely. I'm absolutely convinced of that. Yeah, but digital ways of communication can be a good add-on. I mean, and it's at the moment, for many people, for many industries, the only way how to communicate, how to interact, how to drive business and, new options and new opportunities in this development.
Yes.
So talking about you as a person and Riese Müller, there has been a connection for over the last, I think, more than 20 years now. How did you get in touch with, I think it was Heiko, you got to know first of all?
Yeah, it's Heiko and Markus both.
Markus at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was in the 90s. And yes, I was the manager of an association of independent bicycle dealers. It was a VSF. Mm-hmm. Now it's Verbund Service Fahrrad. Mm-hmm. Now called, and so we came in touch, and I was organizing a big event on the B2B. It was a congress and a show to show the innovations, and there Riese Müller came and was exhibitor, and we learned to know. And I was, I don't know when it was, at the end of the 90s, I think, in Darmstadt, in the old produced the
dairy,
was,
dairy.
Yeah, dairy. It was really still a very, it was yet the beginning. And so, and Riese Müller started with a folding bike, with a great folding bike with suspension, the Birdie. And we liked it very much. And the VSF shops, they liked this bike very much. And so we learned to know. Mm-hmm. And Heiko was, and I was organizing this Congress. Yeah, it was a Congress from the VSF, this association of the bicycle dealers. And he told me, Ulrike, this Fahrradmarkt Zukunft, this bicycle market future, it is so good. The VSF is too small. You have to give it to an agency. And you, the VSF, you are not neutral enough. You have, please give it to an agency. It had a big potential. And I thought, eh? That's my Congress. I invented it. I will not give it away. So I will, okay, then I will do it. I will be the new. Really, it was a big thing for me. And I think 1 year later, 2 years later, I found Velo Concept. This agency was one big part of Velo Concept to organize this Bicycle Market Future Congress. And this was really a big success, this Congress. Mm-hmm. And everybody knew it in the bicycle branch and international, mm-hmm. even international. And so that was one reason. There were some reasons, but one reason was Heiko. Mm. Please give it to a neutral agency.
So that was an inspirational moment you shared with him, and you became an entrepreneur, a founder, which is a completely new perspective in your thinking, in your way of acting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, before when I started 1980 in an independent bicycle shop. We wanted to sell and to offer good bicycle parts for urban mobility. And we were collective. There was no chef. We were really self-managed or responsible. And it was a movement, this alternative movement in the 80s. And there was no hierarchy. It was really everybody had the same status. It was not simple. It was really sometimes difficult.
Strenuous. It was sounds strenuous, yeah.
Yes, and I liked it very much. It was, and I learned a lot, and it was a great time. But and then after 10 years, we found the VSF. I was a founder, and then I became the manager of the VSF for 10 years, but that was an association and I was a manager, but I always had to ask. They were always nice. I had no stress.
No responsibility, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, responsibility I had. And then I thought it was the other reason. No, I really want to lead my own firm, and I don't want to explain to other people what I do. I want to do it. And I was 46 years old, and somebody said, so late, I said, yes, I want it. And so I started it.
Would you say that your experience had shaped your thoughts of being a leader of leadership? So your first experiences?
Okay, I had one experience with my predecessor in the VSF. He was a manager before, and he got a consultant in the car industry. And he was really fed up with the self responsibility and the collective work and so many discussions. And he said, oh, no, I didn't like it any longer. But then I came to the car industry and I was consulting and I was training the workers, not only the workers, to more responsibility. And then I saw, boah, that's how far we were in the collective work, because there was a big responsibility for our work. And they really said, oh no, the chef, the manager told it, I'm not responsible. And then he saw the quality of our working, that he said, oh, I didn't know how normal work was in the end of the 90s. Yeah. And So I thought, okay, it has a big value. We are responsible and we have to learn new forms of discussing. And now I think this new work, better work, you are mm-hmm. for good work, mm-hmm. it's coming together. And I'm a member of Les Enfants Terribles. They are thinking about better work, new work. Mm-hmm. And I say, okay, so you are coming from the big firms, from the, and I am from small firms, but you are training for less hierarchy, and I'm coming from how to implement more hierarchy or responsibility and new organization forms. And it's really interesting for me. And from the from meetings with the new work, they are interested to hear from me that because I really had to learn how to lead in my firm, how to. I think sometimes I gave too much responsibility to my teams and sometimes to less. And I was always looking and saying, oh, yes, how are you doing it? And yeah, I think it's really, I like it now to be in the discussions with new work and good work, mm-hmm. because in the 80s, it was really a big, also there we wanted to transform mm-hmm. the economy. Yeah.
I think in the 80s, nobody would call it new work. I mean, Friedrich Bergmann invented his new work or brought his ideas of new work somehow in the 80s into society. But you were already practicing the principles of new work. But I think I'm pretty sure everybody who's listening now, especially the dealers, the entrepreneur, they come across those questions of leadership, how to run a business, how to build a perfect organization, or at least not perfect, but a working organization, and encourage people to take over more responsibility in their work. But maybe let's make like a slight shift back to the bike industry. Your company is located in Berlin. I will call it the hidden capital for cargo bikes, because if you look around Berlin, look at the traffic, it's still predominantly the car, but so many car bikes riding. Is it, would you agree with this observation? What is your thought on this topic, the cargo bike?
Yeah, the cargo bike is a big new thing. It's really, and it's from now it's really great to, it's a solution to mm-hmm. transport for the family, for private use. It's a family or it was the goods I'm buying, and it's so easy to transport it. And now it's a status, it's an image. Now, mm-hmm. 30 years ago, it was the Porsche or the big car, and now it's a chic cargo bike. And they say, wow, there are a lot of innovation, and with the e-mobility, now it's really easy. I can tell you, when I started 1980 in the bicycle shop for urban mobility, we were looking, where are cargo bikes? And we imported a cargo bike from Denmark. Yeah, and it was a black, the Long John. We liked it very much, and we took it. And 1985, I got a child, and I took it to transport our son, and it was easy. But it was in the shop, and nobody bought it. Only some freaks, yeah. But mm-hmm. it was from status here. It was really. People were looking, I thought it's stupid, even in the 80s, because I was convinced of it and it was my status. But many people thought, oh, it's a poor people, he cannot afford a car. That was really still in the 80s. And we thought a lot of people were talking about cargo bikes, but you didn't tell them. It was really only for to look at it. And this changed. And now with the e-mobility, it's really, there are a lot of innovation. And we have in our firm, when Riese & Müller started with a cargo bike load, we bought one, and it's our firm vehicle, and it's standing here. I can see it here. It's in, and everybody can take it. And if you need to transport something, or then it's still at the beginning. And I am sure that, yeah, there's transformation, that the cargo bikes are helping the transformation. And I know I spoke about private use and the big thing with the logistic in the urban areas and in short distance. And there we will see a lot of change too with this light vehicles. We see with two wheels, three wheels, four wheels, like a bicycle, but with electric motor. And now I'm really happy about it. And in the society, the people get interested in it. And it's still a wow factor. And yeah, I think we are still at the beginning of this movement.
So do you reckon the cargo bike as an enabler for new business opportunities, for small business especially?
Yes, yes. But that's already a long time, I think, also for a small business. But yes, as for to the wood, yeah, the coffee bike is already for many, many years. We know it for many years, or to sell ice cream or something like it. But it's not only the bike, the service.
Service, yeah? Mm-hmm.
We will get a lot of new services that you won't buy a bicycle or buy a cargo bike, that you can rent it. Mm-hmm. Or that will...
Like a leasing model. Like a leasing.
Like a leasing if it's your own. Or it's standing in the street and you can take it. Yeah. And yeah, I think we are still at the beginning. So, you need not your... Like with the cars, you don't need to have your own car. You can take a sharing car or rent a car. And even with the cargo bike, there will be new services that's not intelligent, that everybody has its own cargo bike and you won't need it every day. And so there will be, I hope that in some years, it's still starting in many cities that you can rent a cargo bike. Now, yeah, it's for private use and for business. Yeah.
Do you also see a potential for cargo bikes in the more rural areas? Or do you think it will be mainly interesting for urban traffic?
No, both. But in the rural area, it's really still there. The car has really still a very dominant role. Mm-hmm. And we have to focus on the rural areas that everybody says that we are always looking for the cities, the urban areas, and the sharing bikes, the sharing cars, they are only in the cities. And we forgot the focus. We have to take the focus on the whole land, rural and city, and to combine it and to combine it with train. And now many people speak of to transport goods by trains or by...
Public transport, yeah. Well, I mean, that's exactly the shift from bike industry, focusing on bike, to thinking about mobility. And yes. I absolutely agree with you that rural areas are somehow overlooked. And I personally ask myself if now that during COVID-19, many people moved from the city to more rural areas because they didn't want to bother anymore to high rents and everything. So many people move people with a mindset, with the urban mindset, move to smaller villages. And that will maybe be a push for sharing concepts, even yes. in areas which are yeah. not really shaped by, you know, like an urban lifestyle. But that yeah. will be, maybe that will be a change within.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree totally. That, mm-hmm. But there also we are still at the beginning. So it's, when the tipping point, it will. When will it start? I think, I hope that it's really running from that we get is. Mm-hmm.
Do you see any examples, maybe abroad, from abroad, where maybe there's a country you have in mind where those concepts are already reality, or which are a little bit more ahead of time?
That. The change in Germany is very, very slow, though. Mm-hmm. So, and there is a lot of administration and rules, and they know it's not possible. And they are now some other, we always hear about Paris. Mm-hmm. They plan to close the city for cars. Mm-hmm. And to give a lot of space for walking and cycling. Mm-hmm. And Paris, they will get a lot of place for bicycle, for walking, for e-scooters, for micro-mobility. And they really make a big step. And mm-hmm. I think I'm also working with startups, and they're always, is it disruptive? Mm-hmm. I always ask with startups, is it disrupted? Does it change the economy? And I'm always now thinking, we have to think a new thinking. It has to be disruptive. This old thinking, now for 80 years, everything was made for a car. Yeah, and we all have the thinking the car, this space for the cars, and we really have to think disruptive and to change the place and to share that, to say bicycle, walking. Even now with the climate change, it's so hot in the cities, or now with the rain, and it has more green and more space for living, for playing in the streets. And there are a lot of examples, but mm-hmm. I think you know it in Paris, in Barcelona, even in London, in Stockholm, and in the Netherlands, in Copenhagen, and in Germany, okay, it's mostly still, there are a lot of small examples, but the big thing is, yeah, we didn't start with it.
Yeah, it's changing observation, but slowly, slowly,
slowly.
Typical
but
German.
Maybe that the change will come. Yeah, I'm optimistic.
And maybe we are just experiencing this tipping point at the moment. Yeah, we can maybe like when we're looking back in 5 years' time or so, maybe it will be that we say, okay, COVID-19, it was like a tipping point for.
Yeah.
Rethinking mobility. So coming to an end of our nice talk, what is the next big thing you have in mind? Is it a new event you're organizing? Is it an initiative you will be starting? Is there anything what comes to your mind? What is really, really your focus at the moment?
Well, my focus now is that I'm working less. Mm-hmm. My colleagues or Isabel and Hille will take over the firm. So they are in the firm, the new projects they are doing, and I'm in a new role. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I hope that my experience and that they ask me and that I can support it. I'm still organizing, leading the think tanks, Bike Brain Pool for the next years. And we really want to work to support the change, the mobility transformation. Mm-hmm. That's still the big thing of me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also for me now, more time for me, because I was really, I like my work. I worked a lot. And so now I'm a bit, it's really changed. 10 years ago, I said, oh, yes, this new project. And you'd say, okay, a big project. But now Hiller and Isabel and my team, they will do it. And I can support it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of changes and transformation ahead in the market, in society, and for you personally as well. So thank you very much, Ulrike, for this, for the time you spent with us and for your thoughts. And I wish you the best for your personal transformation. And thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Jule.
Riese und Müller Unplugged, the podcast for everything that gets us in motion.